That was Elfin Tarantelle from Summer Dreams by Beach. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society on this beautiful summer day. My name is Karen Deaton, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers. I'm the chair of the Religious Exploration Committee, and I'll soon begin a term on the board. Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and open-minded congregation. We strive to be welcoming to all, although we recognize that we all have biases that limit our understanding of how others may perceive us and how we may perceive others. We stumble in our efforts, but we commit to keep trying, to grow our ability to love people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, gender identity, family structure, age, or abilities. I want to point out that the service is being recorded, and we'll tell you when the recording stops. We have a few announcements. The Spiritual Exploration Group will meet on Thursday, June 30th at 1 p.m. No preparation or reading is required, no homework. It will be an opportunity to quiet our minds, share what's going on in our hearts, experience presence together, and deepen our sense of community. Please join us. Prairie Women's Group, Women of Wonder, or WOW, is meeting next Saturday, July 2nd at 10 a.m. All women associated with Prairie are welcome to attend, especially newcomers. It'll happen at least online and possibly in person next door. Kate Liu will email this week with details. There are other announcements in the paper order of service and in the emailed copy that went out earlier this week. Please see those for additional information. So today's service is a Prairie tradition that was well established before I ever came here. Our own Metji Butler wrote special words to a familiar song just for the annual Summer Reads service. The lyrics are on your order of service in the second column. The tune is number 108 in the Gray Hymnal. But this hymnal in the under the chair in front of you. But it's a very familiar tune. And Amber, if you play one time through, we might not need to look in the manual at all, in the hymnal at all.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amber. And thank you all. Our chalice lighting words today will be read by Jesse Garst.
Apparently, I need to fight my mask a bit. And, right. Gonna let them finish muttering. All right.
We're all done now.
Yeah. A book is made from a tree. It is an assemblage of flat, flexible parts, still called leaves, imprinted with dark, pigmented squiggles. One glance at it, and you hear the voice of another person, perhaps someone dead for thousands of years. Across the millennia, the author is speaking clearly and silently inside your head, directly to you. Writing is, perhaps, the greatest of human inventions, binding together people, citizens of distant epochs who never knew one another. Books break the shackles of time, proof that humans can work magic. Carl Sagan.
Okay, it's time for our story for all ages. We welcome adults as well as kids to come forward and get a good view of the pictures while we listen to our story. After the book today, you kids will have a chance to tell us about a book that you like. So don't get up and leave right away after our story.
You both want to sit, or you want to stand, or one person
sitting in the middle? Alice is going to sit and read the words. I'm going to stand and show the pictures.
Hey, Jacob.
It's great to see all of you guys.
I'm so sorry. Turn the mic on. I can't hear you. Hold on.
Testing.
There we go.
All right. So the book today is called This is Sadie.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, sometimes it's hard to see the pictures when you guys are all sitting up here. So we're trying an experiment today. Alice is going to read the words, and I'm going to stand up here and show you the pictures, and we'll see if that works a little better for you.
All right. This is Sadie. It's by Sarah O'Leary, and the illustrations are by Julie Morstad. This is a book about a kid with a great imagination. This is Sadie. No, not that. That's a box. Sadie is inside the box. Wait, the box at all. I'm on an enormous boat, she says, crossing a wide, wide sea. Here is Sadie now. She's looking for land, only she's not looking too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Sadie sails all the way around her room and back again, and it still isn't even time for breakfast. Sadie has learned to be quiet in the mornings because old people need a lot of sleep.
Does it look quiet? Not really.
Okay. When it is time to start the day, Sadie tidies her room, and then she chooses a dress. Don't tell the others, she whispers, but you are my favorite. Sadie's perfect day is spent with her friends. Some of them live on her street, and some live in the pages of books. Sadie has been a girl who lived under the sea. She has been a boy raised by wolves. She has had adventures in Wonderland. And she has played the hero in the world of fairy tales. This is Sadie. You probably think it's a tree, don't you? It is, but way, way up at the top, it's Sadie, chit-chatting with the birds. Sadie has wings, of course. They are just very, very hard to see. Still, she knows they are there. Maybe you have them too. Have you checked? Sadie's wings can take her anywhere she wants to go, and they always bring her home again. The days are never long enough for Sadie. So many things to make and do and be. Sadie likes to make boats of boxes and castles of cushions. But more than anything, she likes stories because you can make them from nothing at all. This is Sadie, and this is her story. The end.
I have a short and fine book. It's about fairies.
I have a, it's like a, it's called The Time Machine. It's about this guy that, and the book War of the Worlds. That one's really cool.
I bet a lot of people have read The Time Machine and War of the Worlds here. Thanks, Jacob.
Now we'll have a moment of silent meditation to center ourselves. It'll start and end with the sound of a chime. And now for the meat of this service. In a couple minutes, I'll invite everybody to come up and share information about a book that they recommend. But first, we have a little bit of instruction. You know, I love this service because we get to hear about lots of books that we might not otherwise have encountered. And it also gives us a way to get to know each other better. You might find out that somebody else shares a love of biography or science fiction or mystery books. Now, you will not have to scribble down the titles and authors of the books that you hear about. I'm asking you to submit that information either in writing. You can grab a piece of paper and a pencil out of here and fill out the information. That's just our ghost. Don't worry about that. That's a friendly ghost. Or, in your order of service on the back of the page, there's a QR code that'll take you to a form that you can fill out to enter the information. And if you don't know how to use the QR code, come up to me after the service and I'll help you out. After, we'll give you the rest of the day to submit information if you don't have a chance to do that today while you're here. And then pretty soon the compiled list will be available through our website. So if you're with us today via Zoom, please type your book's title and author in the Zoom chat, and our Zoom helper, Mary Mullen, will read it to the congregation. If you're here in the room, you can line up along this side for your turn to come forward and talk about your book. When you come forward, the Zoom attendees can see who's talking. But if you're not comfortable coming up here, you can just raise your hand and one of our helpers, Renee, will bring you the microphone. So I'm going to start by reading a recommendation from Robin Proud, one of our members who couldn't be here today because she's presenting to the SAWC congregation. She says, the book is called Search, a novel written by Michelle Hoonavin. And Robin says, "This is the humorous story of a UU church in California looking for a new minister." What could be humorous about that? The main character is a UU food critic who went to seminary for a couple of years. All these things are true of the author. It's kind of a memoir. You will swear you know these people and have lived through some of the conflicts between old guard versus young upstarts, traditionalists versus risk takers. There are excerpts from interviews and sermons that are totally recognizable. I think there's recipes in there too. It'll be interesting to see if this book gets anyone to check out Unitarian Universalism or if it makes them run as far away as possible. It does have a serious side and no easy answers. I loved it, and I was able to get it from the Madison Library without a long wait. So the rest of you now, if you'd like to share something, can line up on this side. And I will talk about one while people are coming up. I don't have it with me, but it's a book called The Hand That First Held Mine. And it's about motherhood and memory. It's written by the author of Hamnet. And I love the rich descriptions that she gives. It also, as I was reading it, I was really struck by her depiction of how childbirth can be traumatic. And that seems especially appropriate to remember right now. So, Gary, come on up. Tell us your name and your pronouns and let us know about the books.
You skipped the first step of that one.
Oh.
You didn't introduce yourself.
Oh,
everybody
I didn't.
Knows you.
I had to introduce myself at the beginning of the service. Yes.
Well, I'm Gary Gates, he, him. I wanted to talk about two books today. The first is about Redeeming Justice by Jarrett Adams. He's a black man who was convicted of rape, and after, I think, 11, 12 years, it was the conviction was overturned as being invalid, and it looks at the justice system in Wisconsin specifically, and prisons of Wisconsin specifically. And it's very well written, very readable, and he became an attorney after he got out of prison and is now defending people who have been accused of crimes. Redeeming Justice, he was also, while he was in prison, a jailhouse lawyer helping other inmates deal with the system. But as I say, it's extremely readable. The other one I want to mention is an old favorite of mine. I've mentioned it several years ago, I'd like to do it again, The Land Remembers by Ben Logan. It's a beautiful book about growing up in southwestern Wisconsin in the 20s and 30s, and you'll love it. You just can't not put it down. It's so enjoyable. You feel good after every page. So I just want to recommend those two. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Gary, what was the author's name of Land Remembers?
Ben Logan.
So when I worked at Wisconsin Public Radio and they were doing books on Chapter Day, I had, as a business part of the Wisconsin Public Radio, I had to contact him and talk to him and about his contact information, and because we had to send him royalties and so on. And he said, "Can I call him back? Because I was disturbing his lunch." And so we did. But. So I just wanted to share a couple of books. The one is Black Washington. It's a historic novel by Essie Edeguan. And it takes place in the early 1800s, and it's the story of a boy who's a slave in Barbados. And he's on a plantation and treated cruelly, as are the other slaves. And the brother of the plantation owner is actually an abolitionist and helps him escape. So it's his story. I'm not done with it yet, but it follows his life, and he ends up in the Arctic and travels all through Canada and in Europe, and so it's a great story. And Also, I found when I was looking for books, one place I look for books is in Goodwill. I found Surviving Four Migrations by the Lauks of Halliburton. So Ori Lauk is a former member of ours. He's passed, and his wife, Eleanor. So this is like a genealogy book, and I happen to find it there in that. So I'll put that in our library here next door. And then a couple books from when last weekend we went to the Milton House to see the Milton House Museum and the tunnel for the Underground Railroad. So I got a number of books from there, and anybody is welcome to borrow it. A couple of them are like young adult books. So, oops, so that's yours. Yeah, not Jacob's.
Hi, my name's Matt. I am not so well organized that I had anything planned for this, but I really enjoy books, and I've got a top 10 favorite books list that's at least a dozen books long so far. But I'm going to recommend one that's not from that list that I read pretty recently. It's called A Psalm for the Wild Built, and it's got a very sci-fi setting. You know, robots gain sentience and decide to leave people, and it's a story of a person kind of meeting one of the robots that decides to come back. But it's not at all a story about robots. It's a story about people and life and self-discovery. It's more of a novella. It's a pretty short, quick read, but very pleasant, very, very joyful.
The name of it again?
A Psalm for the Wild Built, Becky Chambers.
Hello, my name is Barbara, she, her, and I am going to be 75 this summer, and one of my favorite books is When We Were Very Young by A.A. Milne. I will never get sick of that book. he was the author of Winnie the Pooh. These poems are just timeless, and you don't get sick of them. There are 101 poems. It's just a beautiful thing, little short pickup to boost your spirits. I do like the Winnie the Pooh books okay, but I think this is really fabulous. When We Were Very Young. I have a copy of this book to give away because I have a couple of copies. It's Mayflower by Nathan Philbrick. And it's very interesting. And the pilgrims and early settlers, they documented everything, so you really can get a lot of detail. I know recently with Black Lives Matter movement, there came to be things that you could highly criticize about the Mayflower descendants and the Native Americans. It was part of the society at the time. But anyway, if someone would like to borrow it, it's a very interesting reading.
Good morning. My name's Suzanne, she, her. Whoops. At the beginning of the pandemic, I switched to using an e-reader because I was so worried I wouldn't be able to get books. And I read a lot of books. So I've chosen two books to tell you about today. The first one is The Nickel Boys by Colson Whitehead. And he holds a particular distinction because he won the Pulitzer Prize twice in a row, I believe, or certainly, you know, for each of his most recent books, and which I think is amazing. I don't know how many authors have done that. And this is based on a true story of two boys who were unjustly sentenced to a hellish reform school in Jim Crow era Florida. And they're two African American boys. The school is mixed. And the story is just very, it's disturbing, it's powerful, and it's very readable, but yet it's hard to read as well. But I highly recommend it. The other book I wanted to recommend is Let me find it here because I don't remember the author. Pachinko, which is a National Book Award finalist, and that it was written by Min Jin Lee. And it tells the story of a Korean family who relocate to Japan. And this all, it's four generations of this family. And I learned so much about that time in history. I just really enjoyed that part of it. And the family goes through so much during these four generations. And you learn about pachinko parlors and about the war in Korea and how North Korea was formed. And it's just, it's a remarkable book. And I really enjoyed that one too. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Margaret Moses. I was incapacitated this spring and I reread all of the Tony Hillerman books, which are fascinating. They're so rich in detail and rich in the telling of the Navajo culture. Murder mysteries, they revolve around two Navajo tribal policemen, and it's a wonderful reading experience. Tony Hillerman's daughter took over writing his books after he died, and I really don't recommend them. They're so much simpler. They are not rich.
Eileen Nettleton, she, hers. The book that I'm recommending was one that the League of Women Voters of Dane County had a book study group around. We've been focusing on books dealing with social equity, the wealth gap, et cetera, and voting issues, of course. And the book that I really found very informative is Made, Hard Work, Low Pay, and a Mother's Will to Survive by Stephanie Land. And it's the story of her own life where she became pregnant when she was planning to go on to college. Her parents were not supporting her. She needed to make it herself. She found she could get jobs doing house cleaning for people. She had to deal with the social system for getting support because she was way below poverty level. She had to work to find different places to live, depending on how much money she had. You found out how difficult it was in terms of getting childcare, how difficult it is when something goes wrong with your car and you can't get to your job. And what happens. She had amazing strength through it all, and at the end you'll find out how she came about writing her book. But it's extremely well written. It reads like a novel, but it's sort of, it's harder to read because you know it's real. And then one fun part was that she lived around Anacortes, Washington, Washington State, and writes about her love of nature and the coastline and Whidbey Island, where we were last September with my brother and his wife for several days. So I could see the roads that she was driving on. I knew where they were. And you don't think about the poverty that's also there in that part of the state, because when you drive around, you see these lovely homes, some on the coastline and so forth. And she talks about some of those houses in her book, too. So I recommend that. And I'll leave that there, my scrap paper.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Evan Fisher. The book I'd like to recommend is The Image of Man, The Creation of Modern Masculinity by George L. Mossy. It's a history of modern, like, European masculinities. George Mossy is, I believe, a UW Holocaust scholar, deceased in the last couple decades. And I want to recommend it because I think it's the history of modern European masculinity is really foundational for any sort of my investigations into what masculinity looks like today, and how it can grow, what its future looks like. And the context of, okay, how did this come into being? How did this come into fruition over the last several hundred years has been really foundational in that investigation. So if that's something you're interested in, I'd like to highly recommend it as well.
So, back up here. My name's Jesse. My pronouns are they, them. And I'm pulling up. I left all of the books that I was going to recommend at my apartment, so I've only got my phone here. The main book that I want to recommend is actually an anthology of comics, more than a novel of reading. But it's called Shout Out. It's by, and it's an anthology of queer comics specifically. So stories about gay people, bi people, trans people, you know, non-binary people, asexual, aromantic people. It's very interesting. Most of them are fantasy or sci-fi stories and wildly different art styles by the different authors, but all of them, the stories are really good. So, yeah, that's my...
Hi, I'm Dirk Herhoyman. And the book I can barely read here. If I go like this, it's better. Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. Now... this is probably, almost certainly, a book that Galen Smith would have recommended, those of you who remember Galen. And I'm going to kind of do a little bit of a Galen on you, which means I might ramble a bit. Galen would regale us during joys and concerns. Maybe it was a joy, maybe it was a concern, maybe. And presider at the book sharing service, so it's kind of in honor of them. And oh, by the way, if Rose would have organized it, we'd been sitting in a circle pointed that way. That's just what she wanted to do. Oh, also, she would have been at the front door as you came in because she was the greeter, even if there were other greeters. Now, this book is one that Susan and I listened to this spring as we were going south to take in the Natchez Trace, which is in Mississippi, kind of cuts north and south, which was interesting. And then when we got back, I noticed that the afternoon book club on Wednesday afternoon at the Sun Prairie Library was going to have this book. Said, okay, let's just go check it out and see what the deal is. So I'll give you a little bit of literary criticism that came from that session, and without trying to give away too much. So Where the Crawdads Sing is maybe a bit of a biological journey through the swamps of the North Carolina coast, the Barrier Island area and that, and it follows a family and one girl who then grew up who was sometimes called the Swamp Girl and kind of lived off the land, as it were, in that region. And so part of it was maybe a bit about the biology and the ecosystem, and the writer, I guess, does science writing too. It's sure seemed like it, and that's in honor of Galen, of course. The other part is kind of how women are treated and have been treated, and kind of goes through this young girl as she grows up in trials and tribulations. Now, this is kind of a genre, and we talked about it at that book club. It's kind of a historical, fictionalized history as opposed to historical fiction, where it's an excuse to tell you, and then you weave a story into it. So if you like that kind of a book, this would be a good one for you. And I don't know, 300-400 pages, something like that. It not exactly be a beach read, but you know, if you got a week or two to ponder through it, it'd be pretty good. So, Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens.
I'm Al Nettleton. The book that I recommend is by Stephen Walsh. It's called Debussy, A Painter in Sound. And it's a rather dense book for musicologists, but also for people who are interested in learning a bit more about the French music scene in the late 1800s, early 1900s, the politics of it, the pressures on an individual to perform, if you will, that is, write more music, even though they are involved in affairs and intellectual challenges, emotional challenges. And so Debussy, A Painter in Sound by Stephen Walsh is the book I recommend.
Hello, I am Marianne Scott. I belong to the Andrea and Tim Scott family. Today is an emotional day, so you just have to forgive me for that. But what I wanted to tell you about is a book called Ginkgo. And people who've talked about this book have said it is like the biography of the ginkgo. And I thought, a book has a biography? I have to read that. I didn't read it all, but it is a very interesting book, and you do learn a great deal. I mean, it takes you through the life of the ginkgo. And why it is such a good book is because the person writing it loves ginkgos. And there are many people who do. I'm one of them. So I think that's what makes it so really good. So I can't give you the author because I wasn't prepared to do that. But I just wanted, it's a different book, so you might want to try it just as a change of pace. And there's another book that I don't have the title of, but it's about the American chestnut tree. And I grew up being told that they were extinct. And it was sort of like, oh, too bad, too bad. And people would reminisce about it. But it turns out that there are still some, and that they are working on change, you know, trying to bring them back. And that is something that I'm just starting to read. So I can't give you the title or anything, but you might be interested. Thank you.
Nancy Wonderland, she, her. And the book I'd like to recommend is titled The Reading List by Sarah Adams, contemporary fiction. And it's a book about books and how they bring us together. And the main characters are from different generations, each kind of going through their struggles in life. And each one in turn mysteriously stumbles upon a little scrap of paper titled, Just in Case You Need It, followed by a list of 8 books. And so then it goes from there. As these characters read the books, they enjoy the escape of the books, but then they also realize that it's helping them in their own life. And it's an uplifting book. And just for fun, I'm making my way through the 8 books, the ones that I haven't read, so that's been fun too.
I'm Mary Mullen, and she, her are my pronouns. And I have two books to recommend. First, the short one. Patty and I went to hear a talk by Ruslana Westerlund about her this book, which is a memoir and a comparison between the cultures of the United States and Ukraine, where she's from. And she also, of course, not in the book, but in talking, she talked about the situation in Ukraine and how horrible it was, and horrible for her to think of, because she has relatives there and knows the country as well. It's called From Borscht to Burgers, and it's based on questions that people would ask her, I'll give them to you, some of them. What was it like growing up in Ukraine? Well, one answer is she was from a very small village, and her parents grew potatoes. And she had to spend her childhood hoeing potatoes, mounding them up, picking potato bugs, helping harvest and sort them, and of course, fixing things made of potatoes. Another question was, how did you survive the Soviet Union? And she talks about being in the Young Pioneers and having to assemble, for example, in eighth grade, blindfold an AK-47. That was part of their training in eighth grade. And trying to get a pair of jeans, because people loved American jeans, and her mother worked in a fabric shop and somehow got to sometimes get a hold of jeans. They would cost a mint. How did you come to America? About a lot of different things. Anyway, it was interesting. It's easy to read because it's short. And then the second book I have to recommend is The Love Songs of W.E.B. Du Bois, which, of course, is a very long book, but it's interesting throughout. It's got about 790 pages, and it's about African-American family also who has Indian blood in it, and it follows many generations, starting with the Creek Indian people who live on the land that eventually all the relatives, the people that come after the ancestors live on. And there are good things and bad things. And the main character who tells the story, who tells the modern story, is one of two or three kids in a family who are very well educated, and how one of them goes wrong, gets into drugs with a boyfriend, and eventually dies, how the other one becomes very well educated, and I think a university professor. So there's a lot to read in here, and I highly recommend it. I happened to get it because I was going with Patty. She was taking some books to Half Price Books, and I look at the new books, and I had to have this one.
I'm Marie Andre, she, her. My recommendation is a book called The Best We Could Do. It's written by T. Bowie, and it's a graphic novel. Traces her family's escape from South Vietnam in the 1970s, and then their story of building their new lives in America. I really like graphic novels in general, just because I like seeing the art, how the person uses art to tell their story along with the words. And if you're anything like me and you try to read books when you go to bed, this one's too big to actually like lay down and hold it, so you have to actually be sitting up and you won't fall asleep.
Is there anybody who would like the microphone to speak from where you're sitting? And nobody submitted anything on Zoom. Okay. In that case, it's time for our offering. We're sharing our offering this quarter with the Catalyst Project. Excuse me. Oh. Oh, yeah. Can we give a microphone to?
I have to have a mic.
Yeah.
Hello? Okay. This is from Pagin Small. The Space Between Worlds by Makaya Johnson is a book about a woman who travels between alternate universes. While it's a science fiction story, the book covers the themes of class, oppression, race, and society. It also has positive representation of people who are LGBTQ+ and queer relationships. Thanks, Pagin.
Thanks, Peggy. So our offering this quarter is being shared with the Catalyst Project. It's a small community of up to 3 single moms and their young kids who have experienced homelessness. Catalyst offers collaborative problem solving, trauma-informed mentoring, and client-specific therapeutic intervention. The Catalyst Project was founded on the belief that the wisdom of those grossly mistreated by our society and its discriminatory systems is essential to creating a society that serves all of its people. Renee and Chris will pass the baskets, and Amber will play our offertory. Thank you, Amber. That was really a delightful selection. It's called Robin Redbreast. It's from Summer Dreams by Beach, and it really does call to mind the bird song. Our closing words today will be read by Jesse Garst. As soon as they put down their knitting.
We don't need a list of rights and wrongs, tables of do's and don'ts. We need books, time, and silence. Thou shalt not is soon forgotten, but once upon a time lasts forever. Philip Pullman.
Our closing music is another familiar tune with special lyrics written by a Prairie member, in this case, Rose Smith, who, as Dirk mentioned, presided over this service for many years. The lyrics are on the back of your order of service. It's called Come Read a Book With Me. It's sung to the tune of Come Sing a Song With Me, which is number 346 in Singing the Living Tradition. and we'll go ahead.